World. I'm John Batchelor. Central planning, a 20th century artifact here in the 21st century. If I understand correctly, the new column at Creators Syndicate by Veronique de Régie. This has to do with two items in the household that are common. One is a debit card, one is a credit card. And Congress has a better idea in the case of the first time, the debit card. It's Senator Durbin of Illinois. A better idea he had in 2010 with the Durbin Amendment. Now, Senator Durbin has been joined by Senator Vance of Ohio for credit cards, a similar central planning idea, demonstrating, as Veronique de Régie means to, that progressives right and progressives left come to the same point. Veronique, a very good evening to you. The question is, the Durbin Amendment, what did it achieve so many years ago? Because you write that it was seen as a breakthrough and an ability to help the customer keep more of his or her money. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. The Durbin Amendment was an amendment that was attached to the Dodd-Frank Act of 2010. And what it did, it was effectively a price control that capped the fees on that are charged by retailers for when us consumer use our debit cards. And that's basically a fee to pay for cost incurred by the banks and a charge by the payment networks like Visa and MasterCards. And so what the idea was like retailers pay these fees and they don't like it, even though they like using those networks. And if we cap the fees, then they're going to be turning that saving around and reduce prices for consumers. But what we've seen since this was implemented is that, as always, price control doesn't deliver on the promise made by those advocating for them. And so while retailers as a group have experienced roughly $145 million in savings due to the capping of the fees, they really, as a majority, as a group, they really haven't turned around and reduced prices for consumers.
This is a study by the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond. In other words, the Durbin Amendment's idea was they'll pass it on to consumers. They didn't. They kept the money. Now, that's not illegal what they did. It's just human nature that you have this, you're not paying, you're price capped, so therefore you're keeping the money. Can that be in any fashion augmented? I mean, or is Congress okay with this, that the Walmarts keeps the money?
Well, I mean, they obviously are not that bothered because Senator Durbin has been trying to actually apply the same type of price control over fees for credit cards. And he has failed so far. So right now they're pushing, he and a few others, including Republican J.D. Vance, is pushing again in the name of consumers and with the underlying assumptions that somehow the system is rigged in favor of the financial system who dare charging fees for their services. So they're pushing the Credit Card Competition Act that would force basically banks to add an additional payment network to offer basically supposedly competition to retailers. And the idea is that this competition, as opposed to what is they see as a monopoly, would lead to a reduction in the fees, and hence retailers would have to pay less fees, and then it would turn around and again, reduce prices for consumers. But it's very unlikely that this is going to happen, in part because of everything we've learned, not just for economics, but also from again, the application of the Durbin Amendment.
The Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond study is pretty obviously saying the retailers kept the money. Congress has access to that study. Has Congress commented about, well, it didn't work out the way we hoped, because it'll happen again with the Credit Card Act. Retailers will keep the money. That's okay with the Senate?
Well, so the senators that are pushing for the Credit Card Competition Act, which really has, again, it's a very deceiving name. Like with the Durbin Amendment, I mean, consumers are not going to see a reduction. If there is a reduction in the fees, which that's a if, the if is important, retailers are very unlikely to shift those benefits towards consumers. But also, we also know that what's going to happen is because banks on the other end are losing revenues because their caps are their fees are capped, or in this case, they're going to have to incur a cost in adding a payment network. They're going to then shift and take away a bunch of the benefits that they're currently giving to consumers for free, like the possibility of earned cash for accumulating points on your credit cards and miles and things like this. I mean, we've seen this with the Durbin Amendment, and the same thing is going to happen. So it's not just that consumers are not seeing a reduction in price, but it's also they're losing a bunch of service that they enjoy that are very popular, and they're extended for free in order to differentiate, to entice. That's how the competition between credit cards expresses itself. Is not through the different payment system, but really through the benefits that each one of us, some people prefer miles, some people prefer, and this is very likely, again, to take a hit if this passes.
The Credit Card Competition Act, not yet passed. This is a moment before the Federal Reserve Board meets again to ask your opinion of the present gossip on Wall Street that a soft landing is possible, that the economy will cool down through jobs, and that we will return to 2% by 2025. Is that your opinion? We have a soft landing ahead.
Well, I mean, it depends. I don't think the Fed's going to be able to pull it off for first, because there's just already a lot of turmoil in the economy. And even though the labor market is still relatively hot, even though not as much as it was before. I mean, there's another good indicator of a recession. It's like people are hiring, but people employed are employed for fewer hours. And that usually has been a good indicator of a coming recession. So it's just the labor market continues sending very mixed signals. But I think it's going to be really hard to do a soft landing, especially because we can't get a clear signal. I mean, no one knows, no matter how, you know, people assert they know, but no one knows if we're done and if we should be done with rate increases, because we're really far from where we ought to be. And I want to remind people that the target that the Fed has is not just the target of returning to 2%, it's to returning to 2% over a certain period. So that means that even if we were to get to 2%, in order to get to the right target, you would have to have, you know, more tightening. And I don't know, maybe the Fed has implicitly abandoned that target, which would be absolutely fine with me. But I think we're just still really far ahead.
Veronique, you received the Mercatus Center. I'm John Madden.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,